Well, good morning. It's good to be here with you this morning. I was blessed for being here thus far. Thank you for the devotional and the songs. We're kind of going to continue that theme here this morning. But what a blessing just to worship the Lord in spirit and truth. Bring you greetings from the church at Myerstown, just up the street a few miles. I'm going to start with a question. What comes to your mind when you hear the name Abraham Lincoln?
Honesty.
Thank you. Some might be thinking tall hat. Abe Lincoln was 6'4", making him one of the tallest presidents. You might be thinking, well, he's the one that freed the slaves. Correct. That was him. I quote, "He was a natural leader with his ability to command a room and give a powerful speech and negotiate. He's regarded as one of the best presidents in American history." We're not going to talk a lot about presidents this morning. We're going to start there. Another name, what comes to your mind when someone mentions the name Fanny Crosby? If you grab your songbooks, most likely, if you look a little bit, you'll find a bunch of songs that she wrote. You might be thinking, well, she was blind. Correct. 6 days old. She had an eye infection. 6 weeks old, she became blind. Her dad died when she was 6 months old. American mission worker, poet, composer, productive hymnist, writing more than 8,000 hymns. When you think of what she has accomplished in her lifetime, with more than 1 million copies printed, more could be said. That's Fanny Crosby. What comes to your mind when you hear the name Billy Graham? Robert Russell Moore, I quote, one of the most, and it's quite a quote, one of the most important evangelists since the Apostle Paul. I did not do any research on that, see if that's correct, but that's what he said. Another man said that Graham never stopped preaching. So your mind's thinking a little bit about Abe Lincoln, Fanny Crosby, Billy Graham. So what comes to your mind when someone mentions the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? And the devotional and the songs this morning thus far just took us right into the mode, I can say, that where we need to be. The title this morning is The Nature of Jesus Christ. An incorrect perspective of Jesus Christ will demote him to a position of unimportance, while a correct perspective of him will determine the way you live. Did anybody ever ask you why you are the way you are? Not you, Mr. Schneider. But why are you the way you are? Why do you do things the way you do? Good to see you, Danny. Is Jesus Christ changing the way you and I live? He should be if he's not, correct? We are who we are because of him, because what he has done for you. For you and I. So some men and women, as we just talked about a little earlier, have great accomplishments in life. And some are quite noteworthy. You know, when you think of 8,000 hymns and gospel songs, that's quite an accomplishment there, Fanny. But what about what Jesus has done? None come quite close to what he has accomplished and what he's still doing for mankind. At Myerstown, I'm preaching through the book of Colossians, which that's where we plan to jump in here this morning. You can turn there if you wish. And we're looking at the theme, complete in Christ. We're still in chapter 1. This morning we're going to jump in at verse 15 and look at a few verses. But if you go back up, just a short, brief summary of of first Colossians chapter 1. In verse 2, we see that every believer is a saint. So now we're talking about us here this morning because of our position in Christ. And because of who we are in Christ, what happens, yes, I said earlier, we're different, we're living different lives because of Christ, but we're called to a high standard of living. A quote I like, "As Christians, we have a higher calling than the pursuit of happiness." And that is the pursuit of holiness. And a synonym for saints, as we see there in verse 2, is Christian believers. Jumping ahead to verse 10, we're also encouraged to walk worthy of the Lord. Now, walking worthy is to bear fruit and to be active and intentional in good deeds. Question, if today were your last day, would the Lord say you walk worthy? Were you pleasing to him? Did you produce fruit? And were you increasing daily in the knowledge of God? Look at verse 10. "That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." We could park there for a while, but I think we're going to continue on. But just something to think about there. Verses 11 through 13, we see a number of different ways God has blessed us as his children. We're strengthened with might and power. He provides us with patience so we're able to be long-suffering with joyfulness. Again, not a trait that comes easily. Long-suffering with joyfulness through Christ, we can do that. Verse 12, He has qualified us, made us meet to be partakers with Him in glory. Verse 13 gets exciting. Every born-again believer has been what? Delivered. From where? From the power of darkness. Delivered from the chains of sin. We think back prior to meeting Christ where we were at. So we have been delivered, followed by we have been what? Translated where? Into the kingdom of His dear Son. So God has called you and I out of darkness for a purpose. We weren't called out and said, okay, now go your way. No, we've been called out for a purpose. We're to be a witness for Jesus Christ. You're called to be a bright spot in a dark world. One who has the desire to lead others to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Verse 14 is through Christ that we have what? Redemption through His blood and also the forgiveness of sins. So earlier I asked, what thoughts come to your mind when you think about Jesus, when someone mentions the name Lord Jesus Christ? Then we look briefly at what He has accomplished for us. What do we can say but other than thank you, Jesus, for what He has done? So look at some key phrases in verses 15 through 22 as Paul gives us the nature of Jesus Christ. In verse 15, it's like I said, where we're going to begin. Jesus Christ is the image of God. Verse 15, He's the firstborn of every being. Moving on, by Him were all things created. Verse 17 is exciting. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. We're going to dig into that a little bit. Verse 18, He is the head of the body, which is probably where we're going to stop this morning, but we don't want to stop there. Looking at a few more attributes of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 20. He made peace with His shed blood. He is our reconciler. And look at verse 22. Jesus Christ is able to present you and I to God in a state how? Holy, unblameable, and unreprovable. So maybe we should ask the question again, what thoughts come to your mind when you hear the name Lord Jesus Christ? What He has done for us, we could continue on and on and on, but our hearts can say nothing more than this. Thank you, Jesus. So that's who He is. Plus, I do believe He is so much more. No one can be compared to Him. An incorrect perspective of Jesus Christ in our minds will demote Him to a position of unimportance, where I trust none of us are at this morning, but a correct perspective will be determined or make a difference in the way you and I live our lives. Let's read verses 15 through 18 in Colossians 1, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. So God is a spirit. John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. As a spirit, therefore, God is what? He is invisible. So you're serving a God that's invisible. No human has ever been able to see God. John 1:18, no man has seen God any time. So Moses, going back to the Old Testament, he saw the brilliance of God in the cloud, which was only the glory of God, but Moses did not actually see God himself, Exodus 33. So although we're serving a God this morning who is invisible, the good news is God is not unknowable. So we could ask, well, then how can we know and understand God? And the answer is through Jesus Christ. Why? Verse 15, He is the image of God. Image is defined as a likeness, representation, or resemblance. Jesus Christ is a resemblance of God. Jesus is a perfect likeness of the unseen God. Jesus told His disciples in John 14:9, He who has seen Me has seen the Father. So we can go through the Gospels and we can see the life of Christ. And by reading that, understanding that, and studying that, we're actually seeing God through all that. We're able to see God. We're able to see the character and the personality of our Heavenly Father by what? By studying the life of His dear Son. When we see Jesus weeping with compassion over Jerusalem, what are we actually seeing? We're seeing the compassion of God. When we hear Jesus warning against destruction in hell, what are we actually listening to? We're listening to a warning from God. The nature and the essence of the true and living God is reflected in the character and person of Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is the image of God. God's invisible, but we can see God through the Lord Jesus Christ. The way to get a better knowledge and understanding of God is to pursue that relationship with Jesus Christ, his Son. So we read in the Gospels, and we get a clearer picture of the image and character of God. Verse 15, the firstborn of every creature. It's the second point. The firstborn, that kind of promotes the idea that Jesus is a created being, and he was the first to be born. But the Greek definition for firstborn is first in time or first in rank. Taking us to John 3:31, he that cometh from above is what? Is above all. So here we're placing Jesus in the highest place in rank, in power, in quality, in authority, and in achievement. Is that where Jesus Christ is in your life? Now I'm going to remind you that a few minutes ago, you sang song number 151 in the song of faith and praise, and this is what we said. We place you on the highest place. Thank you, Tim. Beautiful song. We're placing him on the highest place in our lives, above all else. He comes first. That's who Jesus is. That's where he needs to be. And when we get our priorities in line with that song there, you know, everything else kind of falls in place. We will worship him as we heard this morning. And I'm the first one to admit that I understand you get outside and I understand life. I've been there a number of days. And we have goals and priorities. And speaking from men here, we have things we like to get done and accomplished. Sometimes we talk about bucket lists and so on and so forth. And I'm not condemning any of that. But I go back to the question, have we placed Jesus in the highest place? So Bless usually lead that song throughout the month of February, the highest place. The false teachers at Colossae did not deny the fact of Jesus Christ, but they demoted him to a position of unimportance. So he said, yes, that there is Jesus. We know him, but we see him. But they did not give him the highest place, as we were just singing this morning. They demoted him to a position of unimportance. They failed to recognize him for who he was. But God's word here this morning gives us the correct place, the supreme place of importance, as what? The firstborn of all creation. Jesus Christ is the firstborn. He's the creator of all things. He is before creation and time, and he is above all creation in rank and dignity. He is above all, and he is one with our Heavenly Father. Revelation 3:14, and unto the angel of the church, the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. So the Amen and the faithful and true witness is Jesus Christ. And then the verse concludes by saying he is the beginning of the creation of God. Jesus Christ was from the beginning, the firstborn, being the first in time. And again, when we place him in the correct spot in our lives, he will be first. Is that where he is this morning in your life? Verse 16, for the third point, for by him were all things created. So Christ existed before the world was created. Take a close look at the beginning and the end of verse 16. By him were all things created. Then the end of verse 16, and all things were created by him and for him. Jesus Christ was active in the work of creation. The universe with its design and order is no accident. And the Big Bang Theory does not fit in. No way. All things that are on the earth, whether we can see them or not, he speaks here of thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, and so on, they did not come into existence by themselves. All three persons of the Trinity have their part in the universe, our Heavenly Father, God. He's the source of creation. Genesis 1:1. He's a wellspring out of which all things come. Jesus Christ, he executed God's plan. Jesus is the actual creator. 1 Corinthians 8:6. But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom all things are all things, and we by him. So here we see God the Father, of whom are all things, also Lord Jesus Christ, who created all things. It ties in well with verse 16. And then the third part of the Trinity, which is the Holy Spirit, puts his finishing touches on creation in Job 26:13. By his Spirit he garnished or adorned the heavens. And there we see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit working together in part of creation. Early Anabaptist leader Peter J. Twist wrote, I quote, "That is the only eternal divine being there is, a true, real Father of whom all things are, and a true Son by whom are all things, and a real Holy Ghost through whom the Father and the Son operate." There you have the three again, all working together as one unit. So when we just stop and consider our view of Jesus, his nature, where we have placed him, his accomplishments, I believe it's of utmost importance that we clearly understand, without a shadow of doubt, that in the beginning, he created, as we can read in the Genesis account. Humanists argue for evolution. A quote from Dr. David Jeremiah, "But it's not so much a debate about the origin of life as it is over the lordship of Jesus Christ." So those who argue for evolution have an incorrect perspective of Jesus Christ. They deny his lordship and his authority. So David Jeremiah said, it's not so much about where life came from, but they're denying the lordship of Jesus Christ. Have you placed him in the highest place? Jesus Christ is the one who flung the stars into space. He is the one who plowed out the basins in the sea. And there's not one blade of grass that's going to grow without his permission. And we think of all the grass around, think of how that grows, and then we cut it week after week after week. Guess who's in charge of all that? We think, oh, we've got to go cut the grass again and again. Yeah, we do. But Christ is there. Not one blade of grass grows without his permission. So we just stop and ponder the thought and say, what a mighty God we serve. A God of design and order. And I trust we're getting a clear picture of the nature of our Lord. He is the image of God and the creator of all things. Christ is the rightful ruler over all creation, including you and I. Is there, in what areas of your life, if any, do you still struggle to yield his lordship? And just a few examples. What about life's goals, which I mentioned earlier? Values. What about some habits that we have? Thoughts. Attitudes, there's a big one. Relationships, finances. Are we struggling to yield it all to the Lord Jesus Christ? An incorrect perspective of Jesus Christ will demote him to a position of unimportance. Why, a correct perspective will determine the way you live your life. Verse 16 back there talks about some things that are visible. That's referring to the actual physical substance that the eye can see. So the cattle in the pasture. The eagle sitting in the tree, the wood that was used to make the benches that you're sitting on, visible, things that you can see, that I can take in. Invisible, referring to laws that govern the stars and the galaxies. And think of things that are invisible, we're not able to see. What about the smell of a rose? Yeah, roses come into your house, probably in a couple weeks, a few more be coming into your home for Valentine's Day. What's the first thing children do? They want to go smell them. Where's the smell come from? What about the pain of a sunset or a bright sunrise? Does that just happen? Oh, the sun goes down and away we go. Does that just happen? I don't think it happens without the watchful hand of our Creator. A few weeks ago, the sunset, Mary and I were biking along, and the sunset caused us just to stop and take pictures. When the sun was setting over a canal with the outline of a bridge in the background, by chance, definitely not. You know, we're serving a God who takes care of all these little details in our lives. Then sometimes we struggle and we think that he's not big enough to handle my problems. But look at how he takes care of. Think about a little bit about order and control in the world today. He causes the earth to buckle when there's earthquakes. Do we think earthquakes happen without him knowing it? Absolutely not. Recently, you heard in the news that volcano erupted. He moves the volcanoes to spew out the lava when they erupt. How does that all work? There's some things we don't know, but we can see that. Who's in control? Thank you, Jesus. More on the invisible. What about our human minds and its capacity to think? You ever stop and wonder about that? How did God create us with the ability to think? Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So we're created in the image of God. Verse 15 tells us that Jesus is the image of God. And yet we have the ability to think. We have minds that have the ability to think. And we think about things that are invisible to you, the human eye, but guess what? They're perfect design by the Creator. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and on earth. We understand that. Visible and invisible, we looked at that briefly. In the end, all things were created by Him and for Him. That three-letter word all kind of covers a lot. There's nothing that He isn't aware of. And when I read through this, I said verse 17 gets a little exciting. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. So He is before all things. We looked a little bit about at this earlier. Christ existed from everlasting. He didn't have a beginning. He was the Son of God long before He became the Son of Mary, as some consider Him today. By Him all things consist. So to consist means to hold together. And in this case, Jesus is holding the universe together. Back in Paul's day, people debated about what force brought and held the world together. And some thought, it was water. Others thought, well, it was air. But Paul, here in verse 17, declared that this unifying, sustaining force is not a what, but a who. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is the Creator. He's the head, the beginning, the firstborn, and He is preeminent over all life. Christ is the sustainer of all things. And the universe, as we know it, is kept in the present state by who? By the hand of God. He's in control of that. The existence of the universe and its order is arranged and is continuing by His power. If the awesome universe as we know it today, if it were unsupported by Jesus Christ, everything would fall into disorder or slip back to nothing. So there's no one who could maintain the order that we know, but the one who is divine. And thus we see the reason why we have Jesus here this morning called. He is represented as the image of the invisible God. He is one with God. Jesus Christ is the great and glorious ever-active mediator by whom the perfections of God are made known. So God was behind the design, and Jesus put it into existence. He is the Creator. But He is the ever-active mediator by whom the perfections of God are made known. It's such a beautiful fact of who God and the Lord Jesus Christ are. Harold Martin, in the Brother New Testament commentary, said his college chemistry professor drew diagrams of various atoms on the chalkboard and pictured by a number of electrons revolving around the protons in the nucleus. So before you think I'm intelligent, I got that from a quote, okay? And several times the professor said, I can understand the structure of an atom. So he understood that. I can see the perfect mathematical pattern. So he was an intelligent individual. But the thing that puzzles me is, what keeps these electrons from just flying into space? And the answer is found in Colossians 1:17. By Him all things consist. Let's not limit the power and ability of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one who holds together that powerful force, and He holds those electrons together. Today, as we speak right now, the earth is traveling around the sun at 70,000 miles an hour. At the same time, it's spinning on its axis at 700 miles an hour. Some of you guys like to drive fast. You can't quite match this. At the same time, the whole galaxy, the Milky Way, is moving at nearly 1 million miles an hour. So as your minds are thinking about all this, 70,000, 700, and a million, this is fast. In the light of all this speed that we're talking about, that we're moving at, the universe is not in a sea of chaos. And we can ask the question, why not? And the answer is Colossians 1:17. By Him, all things consist. What I described is not confusion, but rather a system, an organized system. Because Jesus Christ is at the helm, and He is holding everything together. By Him, all things consist. Why He created everything the way He did, that's a good question. But we just here this morning believe that it happened. children, some of you are in school, tell me at what temperature water freezes. Brave child here this morning. 32 degrees. Why? Can't answer that one, right? But you know it's a 32. You are correct. Think about it. 32 degrees, not 33, not 30, not 34, at 33, at 32 degrees, water freezes. Who can explain the gravity? If you hold out a pen and drop it, where's it going to go? It's going to go down, the constant pull of gravity. Where did all this take place? Colossians 1:17. The whole universe coheres, operates, and is held together. How? By the command and the will and the design of Jesus Christ our Lord. I was reading through Mark this week. Now, you know the story how the disciples went out into the water and a big storm arose and the waves beat into the ship. And the Bible says the ship was now full. I'd like to read a verse. Mark 4:39. And I know this is speaking of the power of Jesus Christ, but I'm talking about how he is in control. Mark 4:39. And he, Jesus Christ, arose. Remember, he was sleeping in the back of the ship. And rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. So men, or even you women this morning, wait till there's a big thunderstorm and you walk outside and say, be still. I'd be shocked if it happened. But that's who Jesus Christ is. He rebuked the wind and the waves. And the Bible, here it says, there was a great calm. Now you can picture that. Now we're ready to do some water skiing. It's just perfectly calm. From a storm to the calm, the Lord, Jesus Christ, he is in control, in full control today. What we need to do is be careful that we don't localize him to his home country years ago. He was on earth 2,000 years ago. His glory was veiled in flesh, Hebrews 10:20. His deity was covered over with manhood. That's who he was. And many tend to think of Jesus as a handsome, soft, easygoing person. And I'm not doubting that he was, that he wasn't, because I think he was. But the Bible describes him as he had eyes as a flame of fire, feet as like polished brass, bronze, voice thundering like the sound of many waters, Revelation 1:14 and 15. So we ask again, who is Jesus Christ to you? He is what we saw here and so much more. And on top of it all, he holds that universe together, keeps the stars in their courses, the invisible laws of nature under his control. He is maintaining the control of the earth and the planets right now as we speak. Everything is operating smoothly in the response to the personal will of Jesus Christ. A little week ago, our oldest son said, hey, he's going to go out one night out. We live close to the project there. He's going to go out there and look at the stars. And I said, yeah, I'll go along. He had to do it for a college project. And we got out there, and he had his computer there and with the stars on. And so we would sit there and stand there, and we'd look at his computer, then try to pick out the stars because the names were there. And, you know, if you're driving along and you say, yep, look up, the stars are out tonight, that's one thing. But when you actually take the time, stop life, walk out in the dark somewhere, it was cold, by the way, and just look at the stars, the sky comes alive. He said, well, that's that star, that's that star. I wonder if we can see this. Well, when we look north, it was kind of a little more cloudy, and it's just amazing when you take time to study that. Did all them stars just kind of pow? No, absolutely not. Then he said, oh, you see that right there? Kind of like a haze up there? Well, that's the Milky Way. And that's what I said a little bit ago, is moving at quite a rate of speed. Jesus took care of it all, created it all. He takes care of stuff like that. And you think that stars are way up there. They're light years away. They are. But guess what? He cares about you and I. The little things. The Bible tells us, and I don't understand it, the very hairs on our head are numbered. Why he would care how many I have, I'm not sure. But he numbered them. I don't think man has done that. Just imagine who he is and his nature. He cares about the little things. There's no need that we have to worship anyone else, for Jesus Christ is equal to and co-eternal with the Father, and he's entirely sufficient. Let's just place him on the highest place. What a beautiful song to start out with. And worship him for who he is. Yes, go take the world. Go take the gospel to the world. Yes. But first of all, we need to start with worship. Lord of the universe, he's one who is before all things. He has every right to be Lord over those that things that he has created. Is Jesus Christ Lord of your life? Have you given your all to him without any limitations or conditions? And we'll move on to verse 18. He is the head of the body. The body referring to the church. You know, we're here this morning with physical bodies, and our bodies are getting signals from our head, which where our brain is located, our control panel. That's how we function. And similar to that, the body of Christ here on the earth, which is our church, we get our signals from who? The Lord Jesus Christ. He is the head of the body. He is the chief shepherd over the church, the redeemed people of God. He is the source, the beginning of the life of the church. The church has a hope unlike any other that in Jesus Christ, he is the firstborn from the dead. He is the first to be raised from death into a glorified life, never to die again. That's who we are serving this morning. He is the church's chief, the leader. He guides and governs the church. But then it says, in all things he might have the preeminence, meaning he is supreme over all others who are called God, and God, small g, because of his resurrection. There will come a day when all fallen creation will be recreated, and the elect in Christ will join him in glorified everlasting bodies. Now this speaks of the end times, but there's coming a day when we're going to meet him face to face, but we need to be prepared. It starts with worship. We need to be prepared. Give him our all. Philippians 2:9-11, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, thinking about the preeminence here, given him a name which is above every name. We put him on the highest place. We keep coming back to that. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. And you might know some people, you'd say, that's never going to happen. But guess what? It is going to happen. Every knee is going to bow of things in heaven, things on earth, and things under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. And there again, we see his preeminence. He is above all. Every tongue is going to confess him as Lord. Every knee is going to bow. So we can go back as we started here and read about great accomplishments from men and women from our past. But we look at this here, let's just stop and consider the nature of Jesus Christ. And what happens? Our hearts soften and we're filled with gratitude to the one who is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of every creature. Jesus Christ is the creator of all things. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body. He is above all, the one who gave his life for us, the one we serve today, the one we call Lord Master. And so we say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. I repeat in closing, an incorrect perspective of Jesus Christ will demote him to a position of unimportance, where I again hope none of us are there, while a correct perspective of him will determine or change the way you live your life. Let's pause for prayer. Lord, we come before you here this morning. We just say thank you, God, for your nature. And Lord, we just want to give you our all with no reserves, hold nothing back. We just come to you and say thank you, Lord. When we just look at the one aspect of creation, what you took care of, and its amazing design, we say thank you. When we think about the fact that you care for us, you know how many hair we have on our head, we say thank you, God. So, Lord, help us not to think that you're too small to handle our issues, but just give you our all. May we serve you faithfully. May we place you on the highest place, God. May we worship you. And then also be witnesses for you. You saved us from the chains of darkness for a purpose, so that we could be a testimony, a witness for you, and shedding light to those we come in contact with. Lord, help us to be your hands and your feet. And ultimately, Lord, be ready for the day when we can meet you face to face. Be with the fellowship of this service, we pray. In your name, amen.